Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, a senior member of Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
I'm Matt Salee, Managing Director and Portfolio Manager at Tortoise Capital Advisors. In a holiday-shortened week, as expected, it was relatively quiet on the news front. However, despite a slew of positive data, oil posted its worst week since January. Bullish data included a 200,000 barrel per day decline in production week over week following a 220,000 barrel per day decline in the monthly data for April. Along with this, demand remained strong, up 3% for the four-week moving average. However, the market was disappointed by a mere 2.2 million barrel crude inventory draw that came out Thursday after Wednesday night's API data showed a 6.7 million barrel draw. Nonetheless, fundamentals continue to move in support of higher prices with strong demand, lower U.S. production, and outages elsewhere, particularly Nigeria, where militant attacks last week took out an additional 500,000 barrels per day of supply. So for the week, oil lost 7%. MLPs were up 30 basis points, continuing to show a lower correlation with crude. Meanwhile, the S&P Energy Index lost 1%, and E&Ps lost 1.5%. As I mentioned, it was a quiet week on the news front, but quickly, Noble Energy announced its sale of a 3% interest in the Tamar field offshore of Israel to Israel's largest private equity infrastructure fund for $370 million with an expected third quarter closing this year. After the sale, Noble continues to own a 33% interest, of which it plans to monetize an additional 7 to 8%, which could generate up to another $1 billion. This field is estimated to hold recoverable reserves of 10 trillion cubic feet of gas. Also, Noble announced production for the second quarter, which was 425,000 barrels per day, a quarterly record, and 10,000 barrels per day over the top end of their guidance. The beat was attributable to new wells brought on in the Eagle Ford and gas sales in Israel driven by coal-to-gas switching. Continuing with upstream, Sanchez Energy boosted its liquidity through a $37 million sale of a 50% interest in Canaro Gathering in the Eagle Ford to its affiliate, Sanchez Production Partners. Along with the initial payment, Sanchez Partners will assume the remaining capital commitments on the system estimated at $7.4 million. As I briefly touched on earlier, following positive news from Nigeria that oil production was up sharply and the government announced they'd reached a ceasefire agreement with the Niger Delta Avengers, a setback occurred with six militant attacks, some of which sadly resulted in the loss of life. Shifting to macro news, OPEC announced a big jump in its June production survey, driven largely by a big tick up in Nigeria following the repair facilities damaged by militant attacks. Unfortunately for the country, as I mentioned earlier, those gains proved to be transitory as a significant amount of production has been lost in recent weeks to a new wave of attacks. In regulatory news, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals handed down a decision in United Airlines versus FERC, questioning FERC's longtime stance of allowing recovery of income taxes on rates for pipelines held in the MLP structure. The court has remanded the issue back to FERC, asking them to provide justification for the tax allowance. This has been FERC's position since their last policy statement on the matter issued in 2005. While this unfortunately creates uncertainty, we don't expect resolution anytime soon. While a change in the FERC policy would clearly be a negative, it's important to note this would only impact pipelines operating under FERC max recourse or indexed rates. In other words, a large portion of pipelines operate under negotiated or market-based rates. Those would not be impacted by the potential change. Capital markets were fairly quiet during the short week. Specifically, Sunoco Logistics took advantage of record low 10-year rates and completed a $550 million offering of 10-year notes priced at a 3.9% coupon. In the high-yield market, Transocean issued $1.25 billion of senior unsecured notes due 2023 with a 9% coupon. Needless to say, their creditworthiness is not quite that of Sunoco's. In equity markets, Seven Generations did a $650 million bought deal to fund a $1.9 billion acquisition of Montney acreage and producing assets. Finally, ETP filed an updated ATM program with the potential to raise up to $1.5 billion of equity. Well, that's all I have for this week. Thanks for listening and happy belated birthday, America.
Thank you for joining us and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseadvisors.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise Capital Advisors believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.